Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. For those of you who are visiting, I'd like to reassure you and let you know that I am not the regular preacher here, and when I get through with my lesson, I'm sure you'll be relieved. But nevertheless, I'm going to do the best I can and hope that I have something here that I can share with you that will be beneficial to you one way or another. First off, I'd like to say, if there's anything that I say that is not according to the Word of God, I would consider you my friend if you would call it to my attention so I could publicly get that corrected. But I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about a subject that is covered in the Bible that I've heard a lesson presented on one time in over 40 years. And it's a rather interesting subject, and it's not like a lesson to help you go to heaven or how you should live your lives, but it's a topic that is discussed in the Bible, and it's about angels. The word angel comes from a Greek word meaning angelos, which is messenger. The word angel or angels possessive appears in the Bible a total of 201 times. And what I try to do is break this lesson down into categories of what angels do, what their responsibilities are, how they're created, and things of that nature. And the first question is, what are angels? Well, they are created beings. They are messengers of God. In Psalms 148, verse 2, it says, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, ye, all his hosts." Verse 5 says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that dominions or principalities," which is powerful angels, from the Greek word A-R-C-H-E. I'm not sure that I can pronounce that. they are created holy. In Acts 10, verse 22, you remember when Peter was going to bring the gospel to Cornelius? It said, "And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear his words." So, the angels are created by God. He spoke them into existence. And they definitely have assignments, I guess is, for lack of a better word to say, of responsibilities. They were created before man. In Job 38, verse 7, this is when God was having a dialogue with Job, and Job had wanted to ask God some questions, and God told Job, said, "I'm going to ask the questions, and you stand up like a man and answer me." So once they laid the groundwork, it said, verse 6 in chapter 38, in verse 3, God says, "Whereupon were the foundations thereof fastened?" He's talking about the creation of the earth. "Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Well, the sons of God in that verse there are talking about angels. So at the beginning of the creation, when God fashioned and formed the earth, he created angels. And angels are active today. And I didn't realize that for some time. And about 10 years ago, I'd heard a message on it. I won't prove my point. They are ministering spirits. Hebrews 1, verses 13 and 14, the writer says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" And verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" It doesn't say, "Were they not all ministering spirits?" It says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Now, what is an heir? Well, we all know that when someone dies and has an estate and they pass that estate on to whomever they decide to do that, that those are considered heirs. Well, in this verse it says heirs of salvation. Well, obviously, heirs of salvation are brothers and sisters in Christ. So it says that there are ministering spirits to Christians. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, the writer says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So I'll be the first to claim that I don't know how they minister to Christians today. I don't understand what they do today. I know that the word was used in the present tense. It says they are ministering spirits. But as far as I'm concerned, if God said it, then it's the way it is. And I thought that that was a rather interesting point. And it says that they are in the presence of God and were created holy. We talked about that. In Matthew 18, verse 10, Jesus said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." That brought a question to my mind is, you know, we've always heard, oh, well, there's guardian angels. Well, this verse might suggest that. And I really don't know, but it says, Jesus was talking about the little children. He said, make sure that you don't despise these little ones, because that in heaven, their angels, and the word is T-H-E-I-R, which means possessive, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So that brought up a question. Are there guardian angels for little children? I don't know. Hebrews 1, chapters 1, verses 1 through 6, shows that the angels worship Christ. I'm going to read that right quick. Beginning in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake into the past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth into the firstborn into the world, he said, And let all the angels of God worship him." So the angels of God worship Christ. And they were also guarded and guided and comforted him. In Psalms 91, verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all ways." The next topic there is that angels are superior to man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Verse 7 says, "Thou madest him," we're talking about man, "a little lower than the angels, and thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." So God created mankind and breathed into him the life and the living soul. Man became a living soul. But yet, mankind is created a little bit lower than the angels. Angels can be many in number. In Revelations 5, verse 7, John wrote and said, "I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Hebrews 12, verse 22, talking about the number of angels. "But ye are some into Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels. That means angels can be without number. Matthew 26, verse 53, when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, you remember that, he said if he had asked that God would send him more than 12 legions of angels. A legion is approximately 5,000 in number. So the total would have been in excess of 60,000 that Jesus could have just called and they would have been there. Angels can also reveal themselves in bodily form. Numbers 22, verse 31. Do you remember when Balaam was on his donkey, and the donkey kept stopping. And God opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw an angel of the Lord with a sword drawn. And that's why the donkey was stopping and wouldn't go the way he wanted him to go. In Judges chapter 2, verse 1, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers." Judges 6, verses 11 and 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Judges 13, verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman." In Daniel 8, verse 15, "Behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man." And there's other verses where, recorded in the Bible, where angels reveal themselves in bodily form. Angels assist, protect, and deliver God's people. Psalms 91, verse 11, we talked about that a moment ago. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all ways." Daniel 3, verse 28. You know, we've been studying Wednesday night for some time on the book of Daniel and some of the things that happened in there. In verse 28 of chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." And then again in Daniel 6, verse 22, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that he may not have hurt me." And remember in Acts chapter 5, verse 19, when Peter was in prison, it says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors." So angels have been sent to assist, protect, and deliver God's peoples. Angels have guided God's people. In Acts 8, 26, you remember when Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch? "An angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." This was when he approached the Ethiopian eunuch and preached to him Jesus and then baptized him. Angels can encourage God's people. In Acts 27, verses 23 and 24, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought unto Caesar, and lo, and God hath given thee all them that must sail with thee." This is when Paul was on his way to Rome to go to Caesar, and the angel of the Lord comforted him. And that night they had the shipwreck, and the angel of the Lord at that time said that all that sail will be with thee. They can interpret God's will to man. Daniel 7, verse 16, Daniel couldn't understand a vision that he had had. It says, "I came to one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things." Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent." So God had sent angels to interpret these visions for Daniel. Angels do not marry, nor do they die. In Luke chapter 20, verses 34 through 36, Luke chapter 20, verses 34 through 36. "And Jesus answering said unto them," this was after the Sadducees had come to Jesus and they were tempting him in all these questions that they were asking. And there was a woman there that had been married seven times and her husbands had died. And they asked, "Well, whose husband is she in the resurrection?" Well, Jesus answered this question. He said, "And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and the children of God being the children of the resurrection." So he's saying in the resurrection, in the life hereafter, that it will be like angels because they neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor do they die. Angels have been known to carry out God's judgment. In Acts 12, verse 23, you remember when Herod was speaking before the people and they said he was a god and he did not tell them that he wasn't. He accepted the credit. It says, and immediately an angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not the glory to God. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So an angel of the Lord smote him right there on the spot. And you remember in Genesis 19, verse 13, right before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and the angel of the Lord had been invited into Lot's house, the two angels, and they told him, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And then in our lessons in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we've been studying on Sunday morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, on the great notable day of judgment, says, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord." So when Jesus returns, he's going to take vengeance on those that know not the Lord with his mighty angels. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians in 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Angels are not all-knowing either, even though that they reside in heaven and see the face of God. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto them that preach the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." In other words, these are secret things that, of course, we don't know. And, of course, he's saying that the angels are not aware of them. They would like to know, but they are not allowed to. And then in Matthew 24, verse 36, you remember when Jesus was talking about the resurrection, or about the day of judgment, he said that, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So angels, even though they reside in heaven, they are not all-knowing. And they are stronger than men. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 11, says, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might..." And then in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, and it says, And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 15 through 17, it says, "An angel destroyed 70,000 men by pestilence." The only exception I know of to angels being stronger than men was the account where Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long. That was in Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 26. And Jacob would not let the angel go until the daylight was coming, and he would not let the angel go until the angel blessed him. But I think that was, from what I can gather and what I've read, is that was a unique situation where God had made the contest basically equal. I don't know why, but that's the way he did it. Angels were and have been involved with Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, his birth was foretold by angels. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of God, fear not to take thee thy wife, Mary thy wife." And you remember in Jesus' temptation, when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So at the end of his temptation, God sent angels to minister unto Jesus' needs. And they strengthened him in the garden. You remember in Matthew chapter 22, verse 43, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." And you remember an angel rolled away the stone after Jesus' death. Matthew 28, verse 2, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And you remember at Christ's ascension, when he ascended back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why standing ye gazing up into heaven?" So the angels have been and were and are involved with Jesus. Like they said back a few moments ago, that they worship him. And then there are some angels that are evil. Satan means adversary, and in Hebrew is Satan, and in Greek, Satanas, chief of fallen spirits. They work against God. Remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field." The devil has limited power. You remember in the book of Job, when Job and God had this conversation about Job, and God allowed Satan to take everything that Job had. In verses chapter 1, verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon him put not forth thy hand." So Job was allowed free hand to destroy everything that Job had, with exception of his health. And then at some time later, in chapter 2, verse 7, Job and the devil were talking again about Job, and the devil said, "Hey, if Job loses his health, he will curse thee." Well, at that point, God allowed him to. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. So the devil was not able to just go in there and totally destroy everything without God's allowing it. So he does have limited power. The devil is called by several names. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, he's called Satan. In Matthew 13, verse 39, the devil. Revelation 12, verse 3, the dragon. And the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 1. Beelzebub in Matthew 10, verse 2. And Lucifer in Isaiah 14, verse 12. So the devil has several names. Evil angels were cast out from the presence of God. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment." In Jude 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness and unto judgment of the great day." Excuse me. Revelations 12, 7 through 9. "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." In Matthew 25, verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So, angels that sinned, God cast them out of heaven. The devil continues to tempt mankind today. In 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And you remember in the book of Galatians in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul not only said it once, but right after he said it, he repeated it again. He said, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." He repeated it again. I could find, other than the names of the devil, I could find only two names of angels in the Bible. One was Gabriel and the other was Michael. There may be more, but I couldn't find them. So if you find them, let me know. I'd like to be interested. Gabriel is mentioned four times in the Bible. Daniel 8, verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euliah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. And then again in Daniel 9, verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me. So that brings up a question. Do angels have wings? Are they able to fly? Apparently this one did. Luke 1, verse 19. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. This was when the angel was talking to Zacharias. And Luke 1, verse 28. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God when he came to Mary to tell her that she was with child. Michael is discussed. He was an archangel. From what I was able to gather, that it, apparently the angels work with an archangel. That's when it said that Michael and his angels fought the devil. So I guess it's some sort of way that the angels report to an archangel. I'm not sure. Archangel is mentioned two times in the Bible. One, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Is there only one? I don't know. Jude verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9 says, Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Michael the archangel is mentioned five times. Daniel 10, verse 13, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So it says he's one of the chief princes, so maybe there's more than one. I don't know. Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, and there is none that holdeth with me these things but Michael, your prince. Daniel 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. In Jude 1, verse 9, when Michael was contending with the devil about the body of Moses, and there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought about the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. That pretty well concludes what I was able to put together about angels. But I did find two other heavenly beings that I thought were worth mentioning. One is cherubs or cherubims, and the other is seraphims. Cherub is singular and cherubims is plural. Together they're mentioned 94 times in the Bible. They'd appear to be some kind of heavenly creation, and the best described in Ezekiel chapter 1 verses 8 through 10. It says, they had four wings with four faces. On the right side of the face there was a man and a lion, on the left side an ox and an eagle. The earliest mention is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. It's talking about God. He drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. They're also mentioned as being used in carvings in the temple that Solomon built in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 23 through 30, and described again as figurines carved in 2 Chronicles 3, verses 11 through 12. And the other one is seraphims. They're mentioned two times in the Bible. And I guess it's some kind of heavenly creation that God created also. In Isaiah 6, verses 1 and 2, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, more than one. Each one had six wings. With two or twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. And that's all that I was able to glean from that. In summary, angels were created before men. They were created by God, spoken into existence. They are active today. and they're in the presence of God. They're superior to man. There can be many of them. They can reveal themselves to man. They assist and protect. They guided God's people. They encouraged God's people. They could interpret dreams. They don't marry or die. They've carried out God's judgment. They're not all-knowing. And they're stronger than men. And they were involved with Christ. And some of them are evil. I realize that this has not been a lesson that tells someone how to become a Christian. I think it's kind of an interesting study. I think that God has revealed what He wants us to know about angels. And there may be more. We may have just hit the tip of the iceberg. I don't know. That would be some things that will probably all be revealed to us when we get to heaven. But regardless, if you have heard the Word of God and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess the name of Jesus, that He is the Son of the living God, and be buried with Him in baptism to rise a new creature in life, or if you are a member that has stumbled and needs to be restored back to your first love, or if you, for any reason, need the prayers of the congregation, we'd avail this opportunity at this time as we stand and sing the song that's been chosen.